good smoking. I've smoked Lucky's regularly for 14 years.
Now there's a tip for you, friends, from a man who really knows tobacco. So for your own deep-down smoking enjoyment, light up a Lucky. You'll agree with the tobacco experts, with the millions who choose Lucky's for a finer, milder, smoother smoke.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Frugal Confessions, our live call-in radio show for folks like you and me that are always looking for ways to save a buck and stretch those hard-earned dollars. We've got some guests here tonight that are major celebrities in the world of savvy savings. They can squeeze a nickel so tight, it'd make the buffalo burp. Let's meet them, shall we? First, from her own reality TV show produced for just peanuts in her own basement, it's Helga Mittenschlager, the uber-frugal housefrau. Welcome, Helga.
Danke. Ja, I'm the uber-frugal housefrau, und I can show everyone how to keep a clean house for just pennies a day. Did you know that you can make your own soap from leftover pork chops?
No, I didn't know that.
Ja, und we never dry clothes in the dryer. We hang on the line.
Oh, yes, that's getting more popular. What about when it rains?
Oh, we don't wash clothes when it rains. When it rains, we take showers.
Okay. On to our second guest, Sue McSweeten, who started the website Super Duper Group Coupon Cutters Club. Say that five times fast. What does your group do?
We constantly scan every website, every publication, and every sign posted out of the stores to make sure we don't miss a single sale. Then we post everything online for our website for our members to download and save a bundle on things they buy every day.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yes, it is. I have 10 full-time staff members to help me keep up with everything.
How can you afford to pay all those employees?
Pay them? Don't be silly. I just give them coupons. They love it. This keeps my costs down and the IRS man off my back.
I wouldn't advertise that too much, Sue. But now let's see if we have any questions from our listeners. Yes, here's someone on the line right now.
Hello?
Hi, and welcome to Frugal Confessions. Who am I speaking to?
This is Karen from Boise, Idaho. I just want to say, Miss Frau, that I watch your show all the time, and I just love the way you make your own cheese and strain the curds through old window screens. I'm experimenting with that myself.
Oh, yeah, the cheese. We have plenty of cheese since we bought the goat. Now we don't have to mow the lawn either. Ha! Mine husband is glad of that.
What I wanted to ask is, how do you know when it's time to splurge a little? I mean, I love saving money, but when do I ever get to spend some? I've been eyeing this dress down at the fashion mall, and the price tag just never drops below $187, and I'm thinking, when? When will it be my turn?
Get a grip on yourself, my dear. Saving is good. You must save, and you save, and you save, and then you want to spend? Nine. You save some more. We must always be uber frugal for our country.
Oh, thank you. I guess I just had a moment of weakness, that's all.
You must be strong. Frugal, uber alles.
Okay, next caller. This is Brian from Kennebunkport, Maine.
Hi, greetings from Maine.
Hi, Brian. What's your frugal confession?
Well, as you know, frugal is a way of life up here in Maine. But I'm having a little problem with my wife.
Oh?
Well, she's a big couponer. I mean, really big. And when she hits a sale, she really stocks up. I mean, really. She got a deal on shampoo, and now we have 36 bottles of the stuff in the closet. And I don't even have hair. Do you know how long it'll take to use that up? It's like that with everything. Cases of soda, cartons of Pringles. Winters are tough here, but I don't know if they'll get so tough we'll have to eat that many Pringles. We've insulated our entire house with the stockpiles of paper towels and toilet paper. We can hardly move in here. I'm telling you, I need some help. What can I do?
It's obvious, Brian, that your wife is addicted to couponing. Yes, this is a very real disease. It affects women, but men are known to get it too. She's either going to have to go cold turkey and start buying things at retail price.
Oh, now that would kill her. I know it would.
Or she can use my patented 5-step plan to wean the coupon addicted personality off of coupon addiction.
Well, that sounds good. How do I do that?
Just send $19.99 to me, care of Sue McSweeten, at SuperDuperGroupCouponCuttersClub.com. We take Visa, MasterCard, and PayPal.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for sharing, Brian. Now, to help you stay frugal, we must look to history, to two of the most frugal personalities in all of radio. Well, in those days, they didn't call them frugal, they called them tightwads, cheapskates, skinflints, pejoratives that are rarely heard in these sensitive times, but in those days, people were proud to be cheap. Let's listen now to Fibber McGee and Molly, as it was heard back in its original broadcast from 1941.
The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Fibber McGee and Molly, written by Dan Quinn, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with, "What this country needs is more love."
Here's a question for all you good housekeepers. Do you know what the experts mean by the term protective housekeeping? Let me give you my idea of what this means. Take your floors. For example, instead of cleaning and dusting them, you protect them with a coat of genuine Johnson's wax. This way, you not only make them more beautiful, but you protect them against the wear and tough wear of wax. And the wax protection also makes your housework easier because a Johnson wax floor is easy to keep clean and spotless. This same thing applies to your furniture, woodwork. Instead of merely cleaning and dusting the tabletops and chair arms, you protect them with Johnson's wax, which brings out the beauty of all wood and protects the beauty. And in fact, protective housekeeping applies to many other things besides floors, furnitures, and woodwork. There are over 100 extra uses for genuine Johnson's wax. You can buy this famous wax polish in three forms, the old familiar paste and liquid forms, or the new cream wax, especially formulated for furniture and woodwork. Your dealer has all three.
The social whirl at 79 Wistful Vista is getting so dizzy that there are two parties going on now at the same time in the living room. One party is going on about needing 50 cents for cigars, while the other party is celebrating the installation of a budget which has no allowances for cigars at all. And so, we find the party of the first part and the party of the second part. Fibber McGee and Molly.
But, Molly, that budget's all wrong. Why didn't you make provisions for my cigars?
Because your cigars aren't provisions.
Be that as it may or may not be or not, I'm entitled to 50 cents for a few smokes. After all, I gave you that money in the first place.
Oh-ho! So you're just an Indian giver.
Come to think of it, my grandfather was part Indian. His mother was an Irish Colleen, and his father was a big buck among the Cherokees. That made Grandpa kind of half-buck. And talking about half bucks, Molly, how about letting me have...
McGee, as the warden of the Moscow prison says when he brought back the bloodhounds after an unsuccessful chase.
Yes?
Not one red cent.
You're a hard woman, Mrs. McGee.
No, I'm not, dearie. I've only got 35 cents, and I need that to pay the milkman.
Very well. Give me the 35 cents, and I'll hand it to the milkman when he comes.
I've already put it out on the back porch in the milk bottle.
You have? Well, guess I'll go outside and have a breath of fresh air.
A good idea. It's much better than inhaling those horrible Havana hay burners of yours.
Ah, lovely day, ain't it, McGee? Yes, it is, McGee. Nice day out. Well, 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 look at that. A milk bottle. With 35 cents in it. My, my. Lucky thing I've got a small hand and this bottle's got a wide mouth. It's a tight squeeze, but there I got it. Now for... Shucks, I got that hand in that bottle all right. I can't get this dad-ratted bottle off my hand. Oh, what'll I do?
McGee! What are you doing with that milk bottle in your hand?
Me? I haven't got any milk bottle in my hand.
Oh, no.
No, I've got my hand in a milk bottle.
Well, take it right off.
I can't. It's stuck.
Now, why would any grown man want to... McGee, you were after that 35 cents.
Now, Molly, I need a cigar a darn sight worse than I need a glass of Guernsey gruel. Don't you get it, Molly? Instead of using the word milk, I called it Guernsey...
Tain't funny, McGee.
Okay, I'll pour it back in the bottle.
To think you'd stoop low enough to take 35 cents out of a milk bottle.
Oh, it wasn't much of a stoop. Molly, how am I going to get this off?
Come on into the house and I'll get it off. Let me look at it. Why, all you have to do is open your hand and it'll slip right off.
I can't open my hand. Gee, I wish Uncle Dennis was around. He'd get me out of this jam.
How?
That guy can get more out of a bottle than...
McGee! Now, let's sit quietly, dearie, while I figure this out. Shh! What's that?
Ain't me. Stop! Who goes there? Who? Oh, it's you, Boomer.
Oh! Excuse me for breaking in like this. Thought nobody was home.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's a lucky thing I recognized you, Horatio, or I'd have bopped you on the bean with this bottle.
Oh, threatening me with a glass glove? Why, that's unsportsmanly. It's childish, my little cad.
No, it's because he can't get it off, Mr. Boomer. Maybe you know how we can get his hand out of that bottle.
I can offer a solution in two short words.
What is it, Mr. Boomer?
Glass cutter.
A glass cutter. Wonderful.
Yeah, let me have it.
Certainly, my little bottle baby. Now, where did I put that glass cutter? Had it right here a minute ago. Glass cutter? Glass cutter? Here's a set of skeleton keys that'll get me into any jail in the country, if I'm not careful. A kangaroo billfold. You should have seen the fellow jump when I took it away from him. Present for my brother Luke, who's in the cooler. It's a muffler to keep Luke warm. A wire from Sheila the shoplifter. Says the police caught her in a revolving door. Now that's wrong. They caught her with a revolving door. And no check for a short beer. Well, well, fancy that. No glass cutter either. Come to think of it, I left it in that jewelry store window last night. Ah, that was a neat job. I never pulled down so much money in such a short time since the day one of my garters got caught in my money belt. Well... Good day, my dear, and a sad farewell to you, Pickled Paws.
Dad, write it, Molly. I can't stand it any longer. Get the hammer and break the bottle.
No, I can't. It might hurt you. And besides, we paid a nickel deposit on that bottle.
Well... What am I supposed to do? Just sit here and twiddle my thumb?
It's a neat trick if you could do it. Can't you go on with your regular work?
Nope. Sorry, Molly, but all my industry is tied up by this bottleneck.
Well, what are we going to do about this? Oh, I wonder who that can be.
Sounds like Mrs. Uppington. She's one of our best knockers.
Oh, dear, and the house is such a mess. Come in just the same, Mrs. Uppington.
How do you do, Mrs. McGee and Mr. McGee?
Hiya, kid.
Kid? Mr. McGee, I'll have you understand that I'm no kid.
That's exactly what Molly was saying only yesterday.
McGee! Don't mind him, Mrs. Uppington.
What you waving a hand around like that for, Uppy?
Why, McGee... It's a big diamond ring. I've never seen that one before, Abigail.
Oh, yes. I just got it this morning.
Don't tell me that's a real, genuine, 100% diamond, Uppy.
But of course, Mr. McGee. 6 carats.
Why, that diamond is so big, you can't tell it from a rhinestone.
Well, there's one way of telling whether it's real or not.
What do you mean, Mr. McGee?
If it's a genuine diamond, it'll cut glass.
Of course my diamond will cut it. Now, if we only had some glass we could use.
Now, let me see. We had some around here a few minutes ago. Why, here we are. What do you know? A milk bottle with somebody's hand in it.
Heavens, Mr. McGee, whose hand is it?
Let me see. Oh, it's mine.
Yours?
Yes, he just stuffed his hand into that bottle, and now he can't get it out.
I bet I can get it out in no time if Uppy'll lend me her diamond.
Of course, Mr. McGee. Here you are.
Thanks. Now, if I start slicing right here...
Be careful, dearie.
Oh, he can't hurt it.
Say, this is a pretty tough bottle.
Is it coming off, Mr. McGee?
Something's coming off, but I'm afraid it isn't the bottle.
What do you mean? Let me see. Oh, my beautiful diamond. It's ruined. You've worn it right down to the nub.
See, McGee? People in glass bottles shouldn't throw stones.
But I can't understand it. Oh, my beautiful diamond. Why, when Mr. Boomer sold it to me...
Boomer?
Oh, no wonder.
But he gave me a written guarantee. Why, I have it here in my bag. Now, let me see. Where did I put that guarantee? Had it a moment ago. Guarantee. Ah, here it is. Oh, dear. It isn't a guarantee at all. Oh, this is terrible. I've been rooked. I've been bamboozled.
What did he give you, Uppy?
I've been bilked.
What did he give you, Uppy?
A check for a short beer. Goodbye.
Well, there's another good idea gone wrong.
Serves her right for trusting Mr. Boomer. Why, even his voice has a phony ring to it.
But I'm telling you, Molly, I don't know how much more of this I can stand.
I just thought of something, McGee. Suppose we fill that bottle full of water, put it in the refrigerator, and when it freezes, that'll break the bottle.
Say, don't forget my hand will be in that bottle.
I didn't think of that. Say, try to unclench your fist. Maybe...
I can't, Molly. We'll have to find another way to... Come in.
Hello, Fizzer and QP. Creepings and salutators and all these stuffings like that there.
Oh, hello, Mr. Popolis. Maybe you can help us.
Yeah, Nick, this is getting to be an emergency. Do you know how I can get my hand out of this milk bottle?
Well, that is looking like a very pretty predicament you are up into the neck of, to put in plain English.
I know that, but what should I do?
Just give me momentum to fiddle with your riddle, Fizzer. Oh, by crackers, I got it!
You have?
Yes. Just have Fizzer push himself up into rest of him into bottle and then turn around and come out head first.
What a lot of help you are.
Well, thank you. And you are giving me big helping too, Fizzer.
What you mean, Nick?
I am grabbing a terrific idea for my restaurant's next menu item out of what is happening to you, and it shouldn't to a dog.
What kind of a dog?
Pig's knuckles under glass, a la Fizzer McGee. Well, so long, kids, and if I don't hear from you soon, be sure to snub me the next time I don't recognize you on the street.
Pig's knuckles under glass. Molly, we've got to get this bottle off somehow. I can't stand it. I'm starting to get claustrophobia in that hand.
What's claustrophobia?
I think it means discomfort when shut up in small places.
Oh, a fancy name for tight shoes, eh?
Now, Molly, don't joke. This bottle's going to be my downfall.
Hi, folks. Say, I just met Mrs. Uppington, and she told me about the trouble you're in, Fibber. so I came right over to get you out of the bottle.
That's mighty nice of you, Mr. Wilcox.
Yes, thanks, Harlow, though anytime you display your generosity, you usually display a little Johnson's glow coat, too.
You've got me all wrong, pal, and just to prove it, I won't even mention it. Now let's have a look at this problem. Why, I can get this bottle off.
How?
Hypnotism.
Hypnotism? We've tried everything else so far, and I'm getting desperate. Go on, Harlow. Hypnotize me.
Okay. Now just sit in this chair. Now go limp.
Like a piece of liver?
Limper. That's it. Now look into my eyes and repeat after me. I am going to sleep.
I am going to sleep.
I have no thoughts of my own.
I have no thoughts of my own.
You never did.
I never did.
I will only think the things Mr. Wilcox thinks.
I will only think the things Mr. Wilcox thinks. I am relaxed. I am free. No more drudgery of housework and messy floors. No more fears of dirt tracking into the house. All I do is apply Johnson's glow coat. Let it dry to a hard, glassy polish in 20 minutes or less. And I have a beautiful, clean kitchen floor surface, which protects the linoleum. And I'm relaxed. I'm free. Peace. It's wonderful. Spelled G-L-O hyphen C-O-A-T.
Well, I'm all through now. Waking him up, Molly. If he doesn't come to, just throw a bucket of water on him. Goodbye.
McGee, wake up.
Huh? What? Oh, say, Harlow, now that my hand's free, it's great to be able to scratch my nose again. Ouch! Dead rat, that bottle's still on, Harlow. Say, where is Harlow?
He's gone.
Of all the silly things. Trying to hypnotize me. Me with all my willpower. At least he kept his promise about not mentioning Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Oops, there I went and mentioned it.
Well, dearie, sometimes it doesn't hurt to...
Come in. Oh, hello there, little girl.
Hello, Mr. McGee. What you doing? Building a ship in a bottle?
No, I'm not, sis.
I know what kind of ship it's going to be, I betcha.
What kind?
A bottle ship.
You mean a battleship.
Will you give it to me when you finish, huh? Will you, Mr. McGee?
Well, maybe I will if... Dad, rat it, sis. I'm not building any ship.
Gee, you look silly with your hand in the bottle. How'd you do it?
Well, it's a long story, little girl. Chock full of details, points, a plot, and old anecdotes.
I knew one old story once, I betcha.
You did? How did it go?
Nah.
I said anecdote, not nanny goat.
What's the difference, huh?
Well, an anecdote is a short tale.
This one had a short tale.
I mean a different kind of tale. One you can tell.
Oh, you can tell this had a tail.
But that isn't...
The fact is, Tall Tale had a telltale tail.
No, you don't. Hey, what's this tall tale you're telling?
Oh, that was the name of this nanny goat.
Oh, come on, sis. Nobody ever named a goat Tall Tail.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, no, they didn't.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, let's cut it short.
What, the tail?
Yes, I mean, no. Why did they call this goat Tall Tail?
Because it loved to sleep in the middle of the road.
I don't see what that's got to do with its name.
Well, no matter how often you would tell this tall tale, it would just lie there.
Lay there?
It sure did, didn't it, mister? So long.
Molly, let's call the plumber or the fire department. I'm as shaky as...
Well, try and forget it for a while. Sit down and read the newspaper.
Can't read the paper.
Why can't you?
Can't turn the pages.
Why not?
Gotta hold the paper with one hand, don't I?
Sure.
Then how can I wet my other thumb?
Oh, you poor lad. Oh, McGee, maybe this is how we'll get that bottle off. We'll wrap the electric heating pad around it, and that'll expand the glass.
Okay, now where is the heating pad? Now, I know exactly where it is. It's right here in the hall closet.
No, wait!
Gotta straighten out that closet one of these days.
Come in.
Good afternoon, kids. Got any rags, any bones, any bottles today? I'll buy them if you won't give them away.
Well, old timer, I don't know. I've got a bottle with some bones in it on the one hand. But I haven't any rags on the other hand.
Hey, that's pretty good, Johnny, but that ain't the way I heard it. The way I heard it, one feller says to other feller, say, he says, I see we're NBC's having a special broadcast Friday night. The Chamber of Commerce plans to install Fibber McGee as president. Yep, says to other feller, leave it to McGee to get mixed up in an installment plan. Well, I gotta be getting out to the lake now. Papa chopped a hole in the ice this morning, and I'm going fishing.
What you gonna fish for, old-timer?
For Papa. So long, kids!
Can you imagine fishing for his father in the lake?
Well, it's a lot more honorable than fishing for 35 cents in a milk bottle, dearie.
Now, why would you have to mention that? Why, I'm so fed up with being handcuffed to this Jersey juice jar, I don't think I'll ever be able to look a cow in the face again.
Dearie, if ever a remark called for an answer, that one did.
Come in, quick.
Good day, Mrs. McGee. Hello, Fibber. I came over to see if I could borrow a couple of lemons. We just ran out.
Well, you can run right back again, Gildersleeve. Do you think lemons grow on trees?
That's a fine way to greet a neighbor. What's gotten into you, McGee?
It's not what's gotten into him, Mr. Gildersleeve. It's what he's gotten into. Just look at his hand.
Oh, Molly.
What? Where? Oh! Ah! Oh, this is rich. The president of the Chamber of Commerce caught in a quart. Ah!
It's no laughing matter, Mr. Gildersleeve. We've been trying to get that bottle off his hand for hours.
Oh, you have, eh? Why, it's the simplest thing in the world to do.
How?
Just raise that arm over your head and hold it there for 2 minutes. The blood rushes away from the hand shrinks, and presto, you're free again.
Why, that's a wonderful idea. Try it, McGee. Go on there. Higher? Now, how's that, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Fine. He'll be free in no time. In fact, he looks like the Statue of Liberty already! Ah! How'd you maneuver yourself into such a mess, McGee?
Oh, I just happened to be strolling on the back porch when I noticed 35 cents in the bottom of this bottle. So I just reached in for it.
Well, I thought I'd heard everything, but this takes the barbed wire bath mat, McGee.
Dad, Reddit, I've taken about all I'm able to take today. One more nasty remark, and I'll pitch a punch to your paunch that'll have you pushing up the posies pronto.
Now, look here, McGee. You little half-baked hooligan.
Who's a hooligan?
I am.
You are not.
He is, too.
Gildersleeve, if you contradict my wife once more, my arm's gonna come down awfully sudden, and you know where.
Why, you insignificant chicken-chested little mugwump. I'm going to make you eat your own bridge work.
Well, that finishes it.
McGee, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take my arm down. The 2 minutes are up. Maybe it'll come out now. I think it's coming. No, it won't. I knew it wouldn't work.
Well, no wonder. You've got your fist closed. Open it up and I bet it will come out.
Yes, dearie, that's what I've been telling you all along.
But I can't open my fist.
Oh, you've got all kinds of room. Now go on, open up your hand.
What? And let go the 35 cents?
Do you have as much leisure time as you would like these days? Enough time for visiting with your friends, playing bridge, or reading? I can tell you how you can have more time for yourself. That is, unless you're already using Johnson's self-polishing glow coat on your linoleum floors. For many thousands of women, glow coat has become one of the most important labor savers in the home. Glow coat saves time in more than one way. It does away with the tedious floor scrubbing, keeps the linoleum clean and sparkling with almost no work at all. Glow coat is self-polishing and needs no rubbing or buffing. You just apply and let it dry, and then 20 minutes later, your floor gleams with the beautiful, lasting polish. Spilled things are quickly wiped up with a damp cloth, and your linoleum will last much longer, too. I can't think of a single reason of why you shouldn't be using Johnson's self-polishing glow coat. Why not order some today?
Say, Molly, I think my hand's coming out of this bottle. There, it's free.
Give me that 35 cents, McGee. We're going down to Kramer's drugstore right now.
Oh, to get me some cigars?
No, dearie, for a much better cause. To contribute this money to the March of Dimes campaign.
Oh, that's right.
And ladies and gentlemen, the dimes and dollars we give now finance the year-round fight against infantile paralysis.
So mail your dimes to the president and support the president's birthday celebration in your community. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And welcome back to Frugal Confessions, our live call-in radio show where cheap is chic, tight is right, and the best wine to drink is always
somebody else's!
All right then, on the line with us now is Fanny Fabrizio from Long Island, New York. How are things in Long Island, Fanny?
Couldn't be better. I just wanted to know why all the fuss about being frugal. My mother came from Poland in 1936, and talk about frugal. She still balls up all our aluminum foil and makes sculptures with it. She takes the plastic wrap off the meat, washes it out, and hangs it over the radiators to dry every night. I never went to sleep at night without the sparkle of tinfoil and plastic wrap hanging all around the bed.
So, what is wrong with this?
I'm sick of it, I tell ya. I just have this overpowering urge to throw away used baggies, toss out the milk carton stacked in the corner to the ceiling, and chuck the lint we've been saving from the dryer to start a fire if ever the power goes out and we need a bonfire or something. Like we're gonna roast weenies and sing around a campfire that's made of lint. Who needs it?
I know we all get tempted to stop our compulsively frugal habits, but you must fight the feeling. Keep up the fight. When all others are disposing of their disposables, we'll still be using them for other things. Be strong. Be frugal.
That's right, Fanny. You never know when you'll be going through airport security and you'll be wishing you hadn't thrown out that baggie.
But I...
Our next caller, Dennis from Des Moines, describes himself as the Duke of Dumpster Divers. Greetings, Dennis.
Thank you, sir. And I have a question for Sue McSweeten. Did you know that you can get big discounts on grocery items even when you don't have a coupon?
Really? How's that?
Well, I set my alarm every morning and I go to a different grocery store every day just as the store opens. And I fill up my cart with everything I can find in the deli section that's marked off because it's expiring. And I usually get at least 50% off.
Why, that's ingenious. But isn't buying expiring food dangerous?
Dangerous? Nah. I mean, sometimes the senior citizens I have to elbow out of the way get a little cranky, but I wouldn't call them dangerous.
Yeah. And did you know those day-old chicken nuggets make excellent stew? That breading makes the stock extra thick and spicy.
That's right, Helga. But even better than that are the sad strawberries and bruised bananas. I take them home, and I throw them in the freezer. The next morning, they're skin flint smoothies.
And speaking of smoothies, they don't get any smoother than Mr. Jack Benny. Let's listen now to an episode of the Jack Benny program from 1952, where Jack loses 475 at the racetrack.
The Jack Benny program. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Jack Benny does another television program with his guest star, David Niven. Meanwhile, we have a radio show to do. So, we bring you a man whose name for years has been the epitome of show business. A man who went from Waukegan to vaudeville.
From vaudeville to pictures.
From pictures to radio.
From radio to television.
And now, since he has no place else left to go, will you please let him come into your home for just a half hour? Thank you. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and kids, you're absolutely right. I have been in show business a long time.
That's right. There aren't many performers who have been in the public eye as long as Jack.
Certainly. Let's face it. I'm a popular star. I mean, everybody knows me.
Oh, sure. A couple of months ago, you were on What's My Line, and nobody guessed who you were.
Oh, was Jack the mystery guest?
No. They were looking right at him.
What are you laughing at?
When you walked past the panel, they thought you were the sound effects man.
Well, anyway, we've got a show to do, so let's get on. Let's get on with... Cut that out! Oh, for goodness sake, what is that racket? Hey, Bob Crosby, what's going on over there?
Oh, those are the carpenters, Jack. They're remodeling the studio.
Who authorized that?
I don't know. But the boys in the band thought the acoustics could be improved, so they all chipped in their own money to have it done.
Why?
Well, last week, the police were practically at the door before they heard the sirens.
The police? What did they want?
They've always been suspicious of Remley's electric piano.
His electric piano?
Mm-hmm. So they followed the cord, and at the other end, they found a telephone and a bookie.
Well, I hope this teaches him a lesson. He's always trying to figure out some way to bet on the horses.
I bet on the Kentucky Derby yesterday.
You did, Dennis?
Yeah. Then I went home and watched it on television.
When did your horse come in?
On the 10 o'clock news. Boy, was he late.
Oh, fine.
The horse I liked came in second. How did you have it figured, Jack?
Well, I didn't bet on the Derby, and I didn't watch it.
But, oh, Jack, the Kentucky Derby is the biggest race of the year.
Look, Don, you can have your Derby and your Preakness and your Gold Cup and all the rest of them. Horse racing happens to leave me cold.
Say, Mary, what's the matter with him?
Oh, don't mind him, Don. He went out with us to Santa Anita 3 months ago. He lost. He's been upset ever since.
Mary, I'm not upset, and I never was upset over losing.
Oh, you weren't, eh? Don, you should have seen the way Jack moped all the way home from Santa Anita.
Really, Mary? What happened?
Oh!
Yes. Jack won on the sixth race, but he lost all that and a little more on the last two. When the races were over, Jack, Dennis, and I were riding home in Jack's car. We rode for about 15 minutes in silence. Gee, it's fun going to the races once in a while.
Yeah, I had a wonderful time. How much did you lose, Mr. Benny?
Oh, only $4.75. It was nothing.
Well, Jack, I'm glad to see you're taking it like such a good sport.
Of course, Mary. What's $4.75? It's just the deposits on 237 Coca-Cola bottles. That's all. Da 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 da. How did you make out, Dennis?
I won $8.
Oh, you won, huh? Well, I only lost $4.75. Did you win, Mary?
No, I lost $12.
Good. Good. I mean that's too bad.
Jack, I think you really are mad because you lost.
Oh, don't be silly, Mary. It doesn't bother me at all. Easy come, easy go. Now let's forget it. Da 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 da. Oh, Rochester, did you lose much?
No, boss, I won $29.
Look, Rochester, you have no business betting on the races because you can't afford to lose.
Yeah, but boss, I told you, I won.
All right, just watch your driving.
Oh, Jack, if losing bothers you so much, we won't discuss the races anymore.
Well, I had completely forgotten about that $4.75 until you brought it up. Now, let's not mention it again. Da 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 da. The only thing on my mind now is that I want to get home for dinner by 6 o'clock.
What time is it now?
4:75. I mean 5:30. Now, once and for all, let's drop the subject.
You know, Jack, it was nice running into Bonita and Ronald Coleman at the races.
Yeah. Ronnie won money, too, and he had the most peculiar system. He'd only bet on the English horses. Rochester, can you drive a little faster?
I'll try. Say, Mr. Bennett, can I have the night off?
Oh, I guess so. Why?
Well, I won $29 at the track, and I feel lucky. I thought I might go to the lodge and get into a poker game with some fellas.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I could win another $71. It should give me an even 100. Then if I had $100 after all these years, I could propose to my girlfriend.
Oh, wait a minute, Rochester. You mean to say that this would be the first time you've had $100?
This is the first time I had 29.
And you should be a little more thrifty.
Are you going with the same girl, Rochester?
Yes, ma'am. Susie.
Gosh, you've been going with her for so many years. Tell me, Rochester, what does she look like?
Well, every time I look at her, I think of Lena Horne.
Is she that beautiful?
No, I just like to think of Lena Horne.
Rochester, please pay attention to your driving, will you? I'm tired and I'm anxious to get home.
Yes, sir.
That's better.
Gee, we must sure be going fast. The foxtail just blew off the radiator cap. Lucky I caught it.
That's not a foxtail, and put it back on my head. Oh, Rochester, there's a man standing there motioning for us to stop. Pull over to the curb.
Okay.
Yes?
Hey, mister, you know how to get to the public library?
No. No, I don't.
Oh, well, you go back 2 blocks, turn left, and you can't miss it.
Well, that is the silliest thing I have ever heard. Drive on, Rochester. Gee, I'm getting kind of thirsty.
Well, if you're thirsty, Jack, there's an orange juice stand right up ahead.
Oh, yeah. Look at that sign. All the orange juice you can drink for 10 cents.
Rochester!
Don't look at me. Mr. Benny stepped on the brakes.
From the back seat yet.
All right, I'm thirsty.
Say, Jack, isn't that Bob Crosby and Charlie Bagby, our piano player over there?
Yeah.
Hey, Charlie, how'd you make out at the races today?
Great. I won $90.
$190. Big show off.
Hey, what's eating him, Mary? What's wrong if Bagby won $90?
Oh, nothing, Bob. Jack's just upset because he lost $4.75. He even got mad at the horse.
I was not mad at the horse.
Then why did you shove your hand down his throat to get your lump of sugar back?
Oh, stop. I was cold. Now look, kids, I don't want to hear any more about my losing money. It isn't such a terrible thing.
Jack, hey, kids.
Oh, it's Don Wilson.
Oh, yes, Don. What are you doing out this way?
Well, it's such a nice day, I thought I'd take the Sportsman Quartet out for a ride.
Taking the quartet for a ride? Where's your car?
No car. Piggyback.
Oh, yes. The tenor's sitting on the rumble seat. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
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 Say, Don, have you and the boys thought about a commercial for Sunday?
Oh, no, we haven't, Jack, but we'll work on it as soon as we get home.
Hey, I know a song we can all sing for a commercial.
You do?
Yeah, Clancy Lowered the Boom.
Dennis, you've done that so many times. And anyway, I don't think that would make a very good commercial.
Oh, yes, it will. And I've got parts for all of us. Here, this is the quartet's part. This is yours, Mary. And here's yours, Don, and Bob, and Rochester. Come on, let's go.
Wait a minute. There's no part for me.
You do your part on the violin.
But I haven't got my violin here.
Good. Good.
Well, you'll take over my whole show pretty soon. That's all I need.
Come on, let's sing it.
Oh, Clancy was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops picked up the pieces after Clancy left the scene. He never looked for trouble, that's a fact you can assume. But nevertheless, when trouble would press, Clancy lowered the boom.
Oh, the Clancy, oh, the Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Now, Mr. Benny's very good at telling jokes and such. In fact, he's good at everything except perhaps a touch. One day I asked to borrow 10, was when I sealed my doom. I reached for the cash, and quick as a flash, Benny lowered the boom.
Oh, that Benny, oh, that Benny. If ever you look in his pocketbook, Benny will lower the boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Now they can kid him all they please by saying that he's tight. But they should see him when he buys his dinner every night. He gives the girl a dollar, but you may think it's strange. Of all the strangest stuff he's done, tells her to keep the change.
Oh, that's Benny, oh, that's Benny. If ever he spends a buck and a half, you know we're in for a boom,
boom.
Went to Mr. Benny's house and walked in through the door. There at my feet a dollar bill was lying on the floor. I looked around but couldn't see nobody in the room. So pressing my rock, I reached for the buck and someone lowered the boom.
That was Benny, that was Benny. He scratches the middle of some poor fiddle and calls it love and bloom,
bloom, bloom.
When you want a cigarette is something I suggest. Why don't you light the lucky strike? You know you want the best. The made of fine and light tobacco that you will agree. So listen to Jack and buy a pack of LSMFT.
For those luckies, for those luckies. Be happy and go with luckies, you know they'll chase away your gloom.
Gloom, 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 gloom.
Sure, and Clancy smokes them because they're cleaner, fresher, and smoother, and better tasting, too.
That was very, very cute. I love those special lyrics. Now, come on, kids. Let's all have some orange juice.
Well, I've got to run along, Jack. I'll see you later.
Okay. Hey, Bob. Bob, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Mary. Watch me catch him. Oh, Bob.
Yeah, Jack.
Do you know how to get to the public library?
Well, sure. You go back 2 blocks, turn left, and you can't miss it. I ran into the same guy.
Oh, cut that out. Go on home. Sorry. Well, we're getting close to home, kids, and I'm really tired. Rochester, what's wrong?
I think we're running out of gas.
But the gauge says full.
Oh, don't go by that. It's painted that way.
That I don't understand at all. Anyway, there's a standard station, so pull in there.
Okay.
Rochester, honk the horn so the attendant...
Jack, look who it is!
Oh, yes.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Mr. Kitzel. Mr. Kitzel, I didn't know you worked in a gas station.
It belongs to my brother-in-law. I'm only helping out. This is my first time.
Oh, the first time you ever worked in a gas station? How do you like it?
Hoo-hoo-hoo! Sometimes you meet such silly people.
You do?
Yeah, this morning a gentleman drove in with a brand new Cadillac and said, fill it up.
Uh-huh.
So I put in 582 gallons.
582 gallons?
I could have put in even more, but one window was open a little.
Mr. Kitzel, you're joking.
Oh, I'm ad-libbing.
I thought so. Well, now, Mr. Kitzel, I'd like to get some gas, too, but put it in the tank.
It's going in now.
Good, good.
Mr. Benny, while you're here, how about a grease job? I'll check your differential, universal joint, your spring shackles, the wheel bearings, and your axle bolts.
Mr. Kitzel, how'd you learn so much about what's under a car?
From trying to cross Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh. Well, never mind the grease. How much do I owe you for the gas, Mr. Kitzel?
$4.75.
Here you are. Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Thank you. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Well, come on, Rochester. We'll drop Miss Livingston and Dennis off and then go home. I want to get to bed. Ah, that bed looks good. Gosh, what a relief to get this high starched collar off. Ah, only wore it one day and it almost drove me nuts. I wonder how Hoover stood it all these years. Well, off with my sweater. Off with my shirt. When I tell people I used to be a lifeguard, they laugh at me. Just look at those muscles. How they bulge. Hard as rocks. Oh. I've got to stop wearing them in the shower. The buckles are getting rusty. It'll feel good to get my shoes off. Going to the track sure tires you out. It burns me up the way everybody thinks I'm mad because I lost $4.75. $4.75. I'll make that up in no time. One more guest appearance with Bob Hope, and I'm all set. Gee, it's good to get in bed. Yes, sir. Gosh, I'm tired. What a day. Nothing like a good night's sleep.
$4.75.
Gosh, what a crowd at the track.
Would you like to buy a program?
A program? How much is it? Yes, how much is it?
$4.75.
Is that all?
Oh, Jack.
Oh, hello, Don. What are you doing at the track?
Oh, I love horses. In fact, when I was born, my father wanted me to be a jockey.
Oh, Don, you're kidding. A jockey is only supposed to weigh about 90 pounds.
That's what I weighed when I was born.
Well, what do you weigh now?
475.
475? I gotta win today. I gotta win. I gotta win today.
The horses are coming out on the track for the next race already. Johnny Longbun looks nervous and correspondent. Idiot Caro looks anxious and rejected. Ralph Meads looks calm on Imbrose. Jack Benny looks crummy on television.
I do not. I've got to win today. I got to win today.
Hey, Bud.
Huh?
Come here a minute.
What?
Who you betting on?
Imbrose. What?
Bet on orange juice.
Orange juice? Why?
Look at the odds. All you can drink for 10 cents.
You're Mary Livingston. You're not that tout. What are you trying? Oh, say, Dennis.
Ah, you're confused, old boy. I'm Ronald Coleman. Now, let's see. I wonder if this horse is worth betting on.
Wait a minute. You only bet on English horses.
Quite. Now, I better find out if this one passes the test. Tell me, horse, are you English?
Haw, haw. Well, I'll be darned. Say, that gives me an idea. I'll go down to the paddock and talk to the horses. Here's the horse I'm gonna bet on. Hello, horsey. You know, I bet a lot of money on you. Are you gonna win today?
Oh, am I?
Wait a minute. You're not a horse. If you're a horse, how come you can talk?
I can't. The horse next to me is a ventriloquist.
Ventriloquist? But how can a horse be a ventriloquist?
How should I know? Your dream.
What?
The race is about to start. Make your bets.
My bet? I gotta make my bet. I gotta win 475. Oh, darn it. The window is closed. I'll rap on it. Open the window. What happened?
When you opened the window, the gasoline ran out.
Here's the betting window. Mister, here's $10. Give me a ticket on library.
Sorry, you've got the wrong window. Go back 2 blocks and turn left.
Thank you.
Attention, please. There is only 1 minute in which to make your bets. You people who can't get through the window, follow the electric cord. It'll lead us to a piano player.
Oh, good. I'll get my bet down.
And there they go. Imbrose is in front. Rejected is second. A library at third. And Don Wilson is fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Fourth, fifth, and sixth?
He's running as an entry. Coming around the far turn, the library is first. Correlation is second. Fibber McGee is bottled in. He likes it.
Come on, library, only 2 blocks more and turn to the left.
And now coming into the stretch. Wait a minute. Correlation is having trouble. Correlation can't see the finish line. His blinkers are pitted.
Come on, library.
And now coming fast on the outside is Clancy. Oh, the Clancy. Whenever he got his Irish up, Clancy Lord the boom, boom.
Come on, boom, boom.
And now coming to the line of finish is Granlow, Fisherman, and Jam Session. And running right behind them is David Niven, who's running for his guest appearance on Jack Benny's TV show.
Come on, Niven, run. If you don't win, I'll lose 475. Come on, run, Niven.
Boss.
Run.
Hey, boss.
Run.
Boss, you must have been dreaming about the horses.
Uh, How do you know?
You were riding a bedpost.
Oh. Gee, Rochester, I just had the most exciting dream. Gosh, I won't be able to go back to sleep now. Get me some Ovaltine.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, after you went to bed, a special delivery came for you.
Special delivery? What was it?
It's a refund from the Income Tax Bureau.
How much?
$4.75.
Oh. Oh, good. Never mind the Ovaltine. I can sleep now. Good night, Rochester.
Good night, boss.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm doing my television program, and as I said before, my guest star will be, here he comes, David Niven riding Don Wilson. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny Show tonight was written by Milt Goldenstern, John Hackleberry, Al Goldman, and Al Gordon, and produced by Hilliard Marks. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Well, that's all the time we have this week on Frugal Confessions. Tune in next time for more tips from the experts, both past and present, on cheaper living. And remember, if you want to save a dollar, give us a holler. Good night.
Fibber McGee and Friends has been our production of the On the Air Radio Player, sponsored by the Henrico County Department of Recreation and Parks. The voices for tonight's show were Joe Bishop, David Bromley, Karen Charlotte, Angel Collins, Bob Dutton, Vaughn Gary, Charlie Laris, Jack Mooney, James Nigren, Molly Ort, and Ann Carr Regan. Our sound effects wizards have been Catherine Ann Bishop, Reagan McKenna, and Samuel Peters. Our director has been Granville Scott. Production manager was Corey Hall. Music has been furnished by Lee Hanchy. Tonight's sound recording engineer has been Devin Langston. The frame linking these two programs together was written by Margie Langston and Granville Scott. Fibber McGee and Friends was edited by Bob Dutton. Fibber McGee and Friends will soon be available as a podcast at our website, www.otarp.com, where you can also download recordings of past shows, including You Heard It Here First, The 39 Steps, and Christmas Comedies. There you will also find the rules for our third annual scriptwriting contest, where the winners will have their script performed for a future OTARP show. Be sure to join us again March 5th and 6th, 2013, as the studio audience here at the Glen Allen Cultural Arts Center for another very special production with the On the Air Radio Players, Radio Goes to War. This is Joe Bishop speaking. Good night and happy listening.